Great, thank you, James. And now it's my turn. Hey. Now, I know the first thing, obviously, that you're all thinking, and you all want to know the answer to, what happened this morning? So let's get it out of the way now, at the beginning, so you're not sat there thinking, what on earth went on? What did he do? It was very simple, really. I was meant to bring some things to church, and I forgot a certain important item, which were Grace's nappies. And she did a number two. And so there were issues surrounding that. But it's all okay now. She's been changed. She's happy. And so now you know, you can put it from your minds. And we can move on from that moment. We can move on from that moment. I think as a parent, and you know, you look ahead to the future, and you think, you know, what does the future hold for my child? And you kind of get to the point where you think, well, wouldn't it be great if there was just some way, if there was something I could do right now that would forever mould my child into the person I want them to be? And unfortunately, it's not quite that easy. And it'd be great, you know, we had a great time dressing her up there and posing. If only just by doing that, I can guarantee that she will support the greatest football club in the world. But it might not happen. Or if I think, what job would I like her to do? What would I like her to go on? Maybe something, you know, a caring job, maybe a job in medicine, something like that. How long it took me to get that shot. It was, they weren't playing ball, has to be said. But, you know, wouldn't it be great? Put her in a nurse's uniform. I'd have given her a doctor's one, but I couldn't find one. And a stethoscope, and that will mould her into the person she's going to be. She will go on, and she will go on into medicine, and she'll be have a wonderful job there. Or maybe sport. I mean, I know, obviously, the 2012 Olympics is probably a little bit too early, really, for getting Grace into that. You know, diving, she can do that, I guess. But apart from that, maybe a swimming-related thing, if we start her early. You know, a medal could be on the way. You never know. That looks bronze. We'll work on that one. But wouldn't it be great if we just do something to mould her and change her into the person we want her to be? It looks like she thinks I'm a vampire there, isn't it? It's like, keep away from me. But it would be great, wouldn't it? Put a Bible in her hand, put a wooden cross in her hand, have a service like this on a Sunday morning, and all of a sudden, hey, zap, she's a Christian. Well, as Paul already said earlier, that's not how it works. We can't make Grace into a Christian. When she's old enough, she has to make that decision for herself. So why have a dedication service? What actually are we doing here this morning? Well, a lot of when we talk about dedication, what we're actually talking about, and we saw that in the promises that we made and all those times we were asked those questions, it was very much with God's help because we can't do it by ourselves. But it is parents dedicating themselves to bringing up their child to know the reality of God. I just want to speak to you very briefly this morning and give you two reasons, and there are many, many, many more, as to why I want Grace to grow up and know the reality of the God who made her. And they're both found in those verses that James read for us from Matthew. That's the way around, isn't it? Yeah. So Matthew chapter 6. You don't need to turn back to it particularly. But I want Grace to know that she is valuable to God. So let's just remind ourselves of what James read to us. In verse 25 he says, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I want Grace to grow up knowing that she is valuable. Why is she valuable? Because God cares for her. God made her and God loves her. That is where she receives her value. A number of years ago, people sort of were trying to work out, you know, the value of the human body. There's different ways you can kind of work it out. But if you just kind of break us down into the various kind of elements and chemicals that make us up, we're actually not worth a huge amount of money. Obviously, now with inflation, we're probably getting there. but certainly not much more. When you add up how much carbon, which is kind of most of us, and a bit of zinc, and there's plenty of sort of calcium in there as well, and I'm not going to try and list them all because I'll forget some. I know there are scientists in the room here and I'll get in trouble. But there's all these different kind of elements of the body, and it basically comes up to about 15 quid. Okay, so I guess some of us are worth more than others for different reasons. But you shouldn't have said that. But yeah, about £15. It's not a huge amount of money, is it? But who are we as human beings? What actually gives human life genuine value? If all we are, you know, people say, you know, humanity, okay, just like monkeys but with less hair. Or if they say it to me, just like monkeys. But you know, what are we? We're just animals. We're just creatures. We're just products of, you know, of random processes. Where does the value of human life come from? Why do we value human life more than animal life? And actually, we do. Okay, because you don't tend to watch, you know, sort of one of your nature programs. You see a lion and it's eating a zebra. And obviously, you feel a little bit sorry for the zebra, you know, but you understand the fact that that's how the way things go in the jungle. You don't start going, justice for the zebra. Let's find, what lion was it? And you have a kind of whole CSI Serengeti series going on, you know, where we're trying to track down the lion that got the zebra. You don't do that. We don't have that burning passion, desire within us. Because we know there's a difference between animals and human beings. And I believe the Bible tells us that that difference is that God made mankind in his own image. And because of that, we are special to him. And we are special regardless of how intelligent we are or not, or how good looking we are or not, or how tall or short or whatever. Whoever we are, whatever our abilities or lack of abilities, God loves us and is passionate about us. And that's something really important for us, I believe, to grasp. Because Jesus kind of applies what he says there by talking about people who worry. And we can so easily worry about so many different things. We worry a lot, don't we, actually? And I guess we're kind of in a time at the moment, you know, in our world where actually people do worry about a lot of different things. People have a lot of personal worries as well. We worry about, you know, are we as you know, capable as that person that we work alongside? Or we compare ourselves to other people. Am I as clever as them? Am I as good at sport as them? The answer to me was generally no. But, you know, where do I get my self-worth from? Why are there so many people in the world who have a real problem with self-image, self-worth, and are just always worrying, comparing themselves to other people? There's no need to do that. I don't want Grace to grow up doing that. I want her to know that she is valuable in the sight of God, just because of who she is. That's what the Bible teaches. That's where humanity gets its uniqueness, its value, because God made us. That's the first thing I want her to know. The second thing I want her to know as well is the importance of storing up treasure in heaven. Now, I've been doing a bit of paternity leave, and over the past few months, just doing a couple of days here and there until Grace is old enough to go to nursery. And so I've been at home, and what do you do at home all day when you're looking after a young baby? Well, mornings generally are Sky Sports News mornings, and you know you've watched too much Sky Sports News when the same story has just come up the seventh time, and you think, I need to switch it off now. I have to switch it off. But I have like a little routine during the day, and I'm going to share my late afternoon routine with you. 3:15 p.m., paternity leave days, I watch Countdown. It's true. And Grace sits next to me, and I have a bit of paper and a pen. And I try and do the letters. I'm no good with the numbers. It's really depressing when you're watching it, and the people doing it on the thing, you know, 10 seconds, they put the pen down, and I'm still there going, 75 plus 2. No, that's not going to work. And you have to give up. But 3 if you don't watch Countdown. 4 o'clock. I watch Deal or No Deal. It's true. Who here has seen Deal or No Deal? Even if you've only seen it once? None of us are going to admit to it now, are you? I do. I watch Deal or No Deal. And the only thing you really... I'm not going to try and explain it now, because obviously no one watches it. But it's like any of these quiz things. It's all about, you know, trying to win lots of money. And the biggest amount of money you can win is £250,000. That's a lot of money. But people can, yeah, they can win anything between that and a penny. And some people actually did actually win a penny. Whether they actually kind of went and collected it at the end, I don't know. But yeah, that's the big thing. Charge £50,000. And they can win £55,000, all these different values. And often the person playing the game will sort of sit up the front and Noel Edmonds presents it. You all know who Noel Edmonds is. No one wants to admit that either. Okay, fine. And he'll sort of talk with them, and they'll often have like a photograph. And you know, if they are a parent, often they'll have a photograph of their kids. And they'll kind of ask the question, say, well, you know, what are you going to do with the money? Why are you up here? Why do you want to win all the cash? And quite often, yeah, if there's someone who's got kids, they will say, well, you know, I really want my kids to be, you know, set up for life. Okay, that they will have all they'll ever need. I'll be able to, you know, they'll be able to go to university without being in debt. That's a miracle, isn't it? They'll be able to do that. I'll be able to get them a deposit, maybe, on a house as they grow up so that they'll have somewhere to live. But, you know, I want them to have everything that they could ever possibly need, to give them a big sum of money. I'm sure they keep a lot of it for themselves as well. But who doesn't want that for their children? For them to have everything that they need. Maybe to be very well off. To be able to afford to do all the things that they want to do. And there's nothing, in a sense, wrong with that. I want grace to enjoy all the great things, the good things that this life has to offer. Because God has created us not to be miserable and to be moany, but to enjoy the life that he's given to us. That is what we are to do. But what I want grace to grow up knowing is that all the things that we have which only last for this life, they fade away. What did Jesus say about treasure? Verse 19 of Matthew 6, he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. The problem with all the stuff that we get in this life, brilliant as it is it doesn't last. So either you have something and someone comes along and takes it from you, the tax man or whoever else, but you have it and it is removed from you, or if you're able to hold on to stuff, eventually it decays, it rusts away, it's finished. We can't hold on to it. Jesus told a parable about a farmer who had an abundance of crop. And he thought to himself, what I'll do is I'll get rid of all my small barns. I'll build up some much bigger barns. I'll put all my stuff into the big barns. Then I can sit back and I can relax because I'm going to be rich and I'm going to be well off and I'm going to enjoy everything that life has to offer. And then God says to him, you're a fool because tonight you're going to die. And then who's going to get all your stuff? Because you can't take it with you. And Jesus applies that parable and says, that's what it's like for people who are rich towards themselves, but they are not rich towards God. And I want grace to grow up knowing and understanding the importance of having treasure in heaven. Not just living for the things of this life, which do not last, no matter how much we would love them to do so, no matter how wonderful they are, the sad fact of the matter is they will not go on forever. And so if all of our happiness is caught up in just those things, then we will not be happy because eventually they will be taken from us. But what we need to do is to store up treasure in heaven. So those are the two things that I want Grace to know. I want her to know how valuable she is, how precious she is to God. And I know how valuable she is to God because the Bible tells me that God loved the whole world so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we may not perish but have eternal life. That's how much God loves Grace. It's how much he loves each and every one of us that he did that. And so what I want Grace to know is to understand that, the wonderful love of God, that he loves us so much that he would do that, and then for her then to see, if he has done that for me, then how am I going to then respond to him? That is a decision that she needs to make in her own time when she's old enough, but it is our prayers, and it is the prayers of many of you here, that she will do that, that she will come to that point where she sees, yes, treasure in heaven, something which lasts forever. And if she grows up knowing those two things, then actually whatever else happens in her life, well, I don't know. But I'm not going to worry about it. As James read for us, tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I'm not going to worry about it because I know that everything is in God's hands. From Ruth's testimony, we learned that we had to learn that over a period of time. We had to learn that for ourselves. But Grace, I know, she was born beautiful, perfectly healthy. And here she is now, and she is valuable, and she is special to God, as each one of us are. Regardless of what we do or what we don't do, God loves us. He sent Jesus for us. And our response then should be to say, yeah, I want to enjoy the world around. It's great, it's brilliant. But there is something greater. There is something better. Something which lasts forever. And through faith in Jesus, we can enter into that. Anybody can do that. And my prayer for Grace is the same as a prayer for anyone, is that they too will come to know that for themselves. We're going to finish by singing a final song. And some of you, it's maybe more familiar hymn. If you're someone who's not really used to church, you might know this one, although we have stuck in an extra chorus that you won't know, just to confuse you. But this is a song, Amazing Grace, written by a guy called John Newton. He was a slave trader originally from many, many years ago. But he realized that actually what he was doing in his life and the direction that he was going in was not the right one. And God transformed him and turned him around. And he wrote this song. We're going to stand and sing this together as we finish our service.